Quinnell Reel 8.
And once the food had been issued to the sections, how was it then issued and prepared for the men?
That corporal would give each man his, well, say there were 10 men, he would divide everything up into 10s. Now, we'll say the, or with the exception of stuff like jam or milk, where they were in tins. And we would say, well, you five have that tin of milk, you five have that tin of milk, you five have that tin of posy, which was the slang name for jam. We never called it jam, it was always posy. And so that five would have a tin of jam and that five would have a tin of jam. The bacon and cheese, they would be divided up. It was generally one rasher of bacon per man. And the cheese would be one, well, I suppose it would be somewhere in the neighbourhood of about 1 ounce or 2 ounces.
And what about the bread issue? Would that be...
Bread issue, that was most meticulously divided up so that every man had just his share. Because the bread ration, we never had enough, but in addition to perhaps a crust of bread, you would have two of these hard, we used to call them dog biscuits, but they were about 4 inches square and about 3/4 of an inch thick. Mm. And they were as hard as iron.
Now, was the breakfast prepared by someone for the whole section, or
no.
did you prepare
each
your
man,
own?
Each man prepared his own breakfast.
How?
Now, this is where these little fireplace, it was just a little chimney, zigzag chimney, and then opened up like that with two hobs at the side, so that his mess tin would stand between the two hobs, you see. And he'd already drawn his water from the sergeant. The sergeant was in charge of these two petrol tins of water. You'd go along to the sergeant, and your mess tin would be three parts filled with water. You put that on the hobs, and then you would light your chips of firewood under there and boil your water. Now, when the water was boiling, you put your tea and sugar in that, and you'd go along to the man who had the milk, and you would never open a tin of milk or a tin of jam fully, because the rats would get to it. You just simply punctured a hole in one either side on the lid and blow on that one as it was squirt out there. Primitive Methodists we were. Yeah. Now the bread, you there got your tea. Now you've got your glowing embers of your fire, and with your mess tin lid, which had a folding handle, you would open it up. You put your rasher of bacon in there, and put a few more sticks on your fire, and you would fry your bacon. And in the fat, you would put a slice of bread or perhaps a piece of biscuit to soak up the fat, you see. You have a piece of fried bread with it. Put that on, and there you are with the breakfast. Now, you've got your bread and bacon, and perhaps you would like a little piece of jam with the remains of your biscuit, and that would be your breakfast.
I see.
Well, now, with your tea... You always left a little of your tea in the bottom of your mess tin, and you would dip your corner of your towel in the tea and wipe round your face, and that was your morning ablution. Then there's a little tiny drop of tea still left, and you put your shaving brush in that, and it would lather your face, and you would have your shave, because we had to shave in the front line. Otherwise, especially the dark chaps, would look like brigands.
Why wouldn't you keep a little bit of water back,
yeah,
rather than put your tea in all of it and then heat up a little bit of water that you'd left
over?
That
mean you're heating up again, you see. Time's limited before you've got something else to do, you see. That was the reason.
I see. Whilst we're talking about meals, now this meal would be what, about
breakfast?
6 o'clock, 7 o'clock?
Depends on the time of the year, doesn't it?
Yeah, I see, yes.
You see, in the summertime, yes, it would be 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. In the winter time, it might be 8 o'clock, you see.
It would be about half an hour after stand two, something
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Whilst we're on the subject of meals, what other meals did you have and at what times?
Well, now, this is where the midday meal was where the ingenuity of man came in. Now, you're issued with these hard biscuits. And after a few months, I began to think up different ways of utilizing these. So at this particular time when put my brains to work, we were we had a regular issue of dates, the sticky huge boxes. I don't suppose you've ever seen them, about 18 inches long and about a foot wide. They came, we used to come over from Morocco or somewhere like that. And there's one coagulated mass of dates. You've never seen them, I suppose. You've seen in fancy boxes. Well, these dates used to come up, and of course, going through the various hands, we had no means of cleaning ourselves. They used to be dirty dates by the time we got them. So I thought this up. Soaking biscuits overnight in water, and then next morning after until about an hour before the midday meal, get these biscuits out of the water, and with my none too clean hands, split a sandbag down, lay it open, and then with my none too clean hands, dive in and get these biscuits out and pat them up with my hand, you see, and you've got a dough. Put the dates, spread this dough out flat, put the dates in there, and make a small football, like Mother used to make the meat pudding, you see. And then I used to boil that up in a big biscuit tin. Well, do you know, these various chaps coming along watching me with great interest, including the company sergeant major, my date puddings became famous. And before long, I would have a dozen chaps come along. When are you going to make? You're going to make one of your puddings tomorrow. They always call me Quinn. When are you going to make one of your date puddings tomorrow, Quinn? Righto, let me have your biscuits then. So perhaps I would have about as much as two dozen biscuits, you see. Well, I said one of these great tins of what the biscuits came up in. Yeah, let me have a cup of water, a drop of water. So with the water, let's put all these couple of dozen biscuits overnight. Cover them over very carefully over the top to keep the rats out. And then next day, I would say to the Sergeant Major, I'm making a pudding tomorrow, Sergeant Major. Would you like to send your dates along? Yes, righto. Well, don't put me on fatigue then, because I'll be busy, you see. Righto, that's all right. Well, I used to, by this time, I'd have a sandbag almost as big as this tablecloth. Spread this lot out. My none too. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing for cleaning your hands, you know, this dough. Spread it out and put all these dates in. By this time, I've got a pudding the size of a football. So they have to, I'd have a whip round for the chips, for the wood splinters, you see, and let that boil for about an hour. And then I passed a word along, and the word used to be passed along the trench like wildfire. Pudding up, along came the mess tin lids and so forth, me carving up. Wonderful. And it was really tasty.
Yeah.
Because when you've got nothing else, you're very glad of that sort of thing.
Apart from your rightly famous date puddings, what did the midday meal usually consist of as far as official rations were concerned?
Well, now, two or three chaps were generally three chaps, the three in the bay would generally amalgamate, and one would open his tin of bully for the midday. Now, the energetic chaps would save, that on top of the Fray Bentos bully tin, when you open it, there was always a quarter of an inch of fat. Now, that fat was very precious, because with that fat you could have a fry-up. Or, if they didn't feel very energetic, perhaps they would eat that bully raw, as it was. But generally, they would have that fat, and each would take his portion of fat, one-third of that fat, in his mess tin lid, and then they would each fry up their own portion of bully beef, chop it up, and they would smash up their biscuit, part of biscuit, on something hard with the bayonet handle, jabbing it, you see, and you powder it. Put that in with your chopped up Fray Bontos bully beef, and it was quite tasty. Now that would be the midday meal.
Yeah.
In addition to with a piece of bread with it, or the remainder of the biscuit, that would be your midday meal. For tea, they would have another chap would open up a tin, and they generally have that raw, and then the other man would, the third man for supper, would open up his tin. You see.
So. The midday meal, tea and supper, was usually bullion biscuit in one form or another.
Yeah.
Which did you regard as the main meal of the day?
Midday.
You did?
Yeah.
And would it be a bigger meal?
Yes.
It would. Mm.
And then another thing we had, now this is not regular, all these things were spasmodic. No doubt it was the case of what the... army could get their hands on, but sometimes we would issue with raw potatoes. Now, raw potatoes in the front line to the uninitiated was, they were simply a waste of time. But the old, when the chaps had been out there a few months, they utilised everything they could lay their hands on. Now, you take a raw potato, and if you cut into very, very thin slices, and then you could fry that in your bacon fat in the morning. It was like sauté potatoes.
Yeah.
And they were quite edible. Another way, if there was plenty of water, you could boil your potatoes in their jacket. And there again, that was very acceptable too. Oh, another thing we always had plenty of was salt. Always had plenty of salt. Which you got, you never had that, never came up with a ration, but you could always go around to the cook cart and they give you a handful of it.
Yeah. I see. Was there any other food apart from that which you mentioned, whichever formed a part of your rations?
No.
Right. Okay. We'd actually got to breakfast in going through the routine of the day, and then we got onto the other meals. So after breakfast... You would do what? Your ablutions would come after breakfast, would they?
No. First thing after breakfast would be inspection of the trench and also rifle inspection. That was always after breakfast. Inspection of trench and rifle inspection. Although you were in the line, you had to keep your rifle spotlessly clean. And always ready for use. The inspection of trench became necessary because the rats and the flies in the summer were really a nuisance. And if, for example, if you left your empty bully, if you threw your empty bully beef tin over the top, there was always something enough in there to attract the attention of rats. So they in every bay would be a sandbag pegged onto the wall, and in there would be the empty wrappings and empty bully beef tins and such stuff as that. Now they were collected at every night by every company had a sanitary man, and it was his job to come along and empty these sandbags, take them to a shell hole, put them all, tip the lot out in the shell, and then cover that over with earth. And his job also, the sanitary man, was to empty the buckets from the which were biscuit tins from the latrines. This was a job hated by this everybody, but it was given to some men as punishment. Or It was a lazy man's job. One or two of them preferred the job because all they had to do was simply, they could do their job in about an hour, and they were, that was their duty for the whole 24 hours.
If you kept your trench fairly clean, did rats cease to be a problem?
Yes, always.
Mm-hmm. So where rats caused the man a good deal of hardship, it was usually a matter of personal cleanliness. They yes. weren't keeping their living quarters very clean. Yeah, I see. So right.